live stream from home. We appreciate you. We thank you for taking the time to worship together with us. The text that was so capably read for us this morning, no one can have two masters. That is a truism to its core. None of us can have two masters. And what is our ultimate choice? God, our Father, the one true God in heaven, He is our master. Or Satan is our master. Those are our options. There is no third choice. Now, what becomes confusing in that second choice is Satan as our master. Well, sometimes it can be ourself. We are led by our desires, our wants. We're led by our possessions and the things that we have in life. But Jesus says, if you're going to be a follower, if you're going to allow God in heaven to be our master, well, then that is the mark of discipleship. That means that your eyes and your focus are single. They're not divided. You are focused and fixated on heaven and not on things of this earth. And that is what God is wanting us to see. That is what He's encouraging us to decide, to be individuals who walk by faith and not by sight. See, and that's the real challenge for us as Christians, isn't it? I mean, we see things, we live by our five senses. Well, the only thing that's real in my life are the things that I can touch, I can smell, I can taste, I can feel. Those are the things that are real to me. Things like God and heaven and spirituality, well, those things aren't real. And so we have a tough time with this, and Jesus realizes it, and He puts the decision at our feet. You can only have one master. You can only love one. You can only give undivided attention to one. You can't have it both ways. We're going to dedicate and we're going to be loyal to one. That puts the obligation and responsibility on us. So we must walk by faith and not by sight. And so this situation that Jesus gives us in Matthew 6, verse 24, let's read it together one more time. So again, remember, this is coming out of the context of our life being full of light, seeking these heavenly treasures and not earthly wealth, earthly riches, earthly treasures. And that starts in verse 19. So He's encouraging us to have a single focus, our minds focused solely on God, on these heavenly treasures. And if you back up in the text, it goes even further into fasting. That's going to help us to get to that place where we have this single focus, these heavenly treasures, where we're praying consistently. We're not praying to be seen by others. We're giving, we're doing our righteous acts, all to be more spiritual, all to look more like Christ. And then when you back up in the text and He's correcting those false teachings, you can't live a life that's committed and dedicated to God and still follow a false doctrine. And that's what Jesus is teaching us. There's the teachings and commands of God are really getting to the heart of the matter. It's not just the external things. You don't just say, well, I'm just going to go through the actions and God's going to be accepting of that. Have you heard people say that? What is it? How does it go? Fake it till you make it. Man, please, if you're a person who's living by fake it till you make it, stop. That is not going to help you. And I've heard Christians say that. I go to church. I've been a seasoned Christian. I've been going for years to the same congregation, and I just fake it till you make it. That is going to hurt a congregation. It's going to hurt you, and it's going to hurt the people around you. Stop faking it, because that won't ever make it. And Jesus lets us know that in Matthew chapter 5, 21 through 48. Faking it is not going to get you anywhere. You got to allow the teachings and instructions of God to get in here. That's the major challenge, and that is exceeding the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. So all of this is coming off of the Beatitudes. These individuals, man, they're solely dependent upon God. Go back and read that. Those people are the salt and the light of the earth. They're the true representation of God on earth. We are His followers. We are His disciples. So that's what Jesus is teaching us. Again, Matthew 6, 24 has the context. Never forget that. No one can serve two masters. What are our options? Well, here's your option. We can only have one master. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. Go back a couple chapters. Jesus is led in the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. That's verse 1. And when we get to verse 9, backing up verse 8, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. In other words, he's showing him all the things that he can have. All of the riches, all the possessions, all of the wealth, all of these things can be yours. You just have to choose. Are you going to continue to allow this God in heaven to be your father and to be your master? Or are you going to give allegiance to me? Look at verse 9. And he said to him, all these things, everything you want in life, you can have it. All you have to do is fall down and worship me. So you can have all the riches you want. You can have all the things that your heart desires. You just have to choose me as your master. You have to allow Satan to be the one who guides your life. And that is where it gets really confusing. And we run into all this because we say, man, I'm not following Satan. I'm just living my life the way that I want to live it. Friends, I'm here to tell you this morning, if you are living a life where you say, well, you know what? I make my own decisions. I'm my own master in a sense. You are following Satan. That's exactly what Satan wants. He wants you to live your life selfishly. He wants your belly to be your God. He wants you to sit on the throne of God and take the place of God, and you decide what is right and wrong. And you walk through the Old Testament, you walk through the Bible, that's exactly where people have went wrong since the beginning of time. When people take the throne of God and you decide, I want to say and be the ultimate decision maker in what is good and what is evil, you have become God. That's where Eve fell. Eve saw the tree and she decided, hey man, this looks good. I want this. This is a good tree to partake of. It's good for my eyes. It's good for my flesh. It's a tree to make me wise. Now I can live by my own decisions. I can be my own God. That's where she fell. And Satan said, now you are worshiping me. Now you're doing exactly what I want you to do. We can only have one master. And so in our text in Matthew 6, 24, the riches is the opposite of God. Ultimately, it's Satan behind this. But he's saying these possessions, when they're yours, when they control you, they are your master. And so this is so powerful and it's so simple. But again, it's so true. And so Jesus is employing this master-slave relationship. And he says, you can only have one. So this is the challenge for all of us this morning. Who is truly your master? Who do you put your confidence in? Who do you put your where do you put your time and your energy? Is it into the things that you own? Maybe a car, a vehicle, maybe it's your clothes, maybe it's your hair. I need a haircut, and I know that. And I do need to set some time aside to get a haircut. But my hair is not my master. I don't care how I look, ultimately. I do to an extent. I get myself ready. But it doesn't control my life. It doesn't mean before I walk into a room or I go and talk to people, I need to make sure I look nice before I go and evangelize and talk about God. This shell doesn't matter. my physical wealth, health is not my master, nor should it be yours. Because when that happens, it takes over your life and it controls you. And it says, oh, you don't look pretty enough. You can't go talk to those people. Oh, you don't look good enough. You can't go into that room. Oh, don't go to worship service because your hair is not functioning the way it should. Oh, spend so much time in behind the mirror before worship and forget about God and forget about what you're about to engage in. Worry about everything else and you be your master other than God. Walk by what you see and not by faith. Don't be a spiritual being, please. Be your own master. That's what Satan is teaching us. That's what the world wants us to do. And God and Jesus, He's pointing us to, man, don't let that be your master. You can only have one. Divided loyalty is not an option. We're going to put our time and our energy and focus into one or the other. It's either God or anything and everything else. Put whatever tag or label you want on there. And Satan's behind it. So ultimately, in an ultimate sense, it's God or Satan. And under Satan, it's all of these things that take our time and our energy. Look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse 5. Ephesians 5 and verse 5. In this, if you are new to Bible study, or if you are new to understanding this text about having one master, man, this is a biblical theme that runs through and through the Bible. And if you are able to apply this teaching to your life, you will progress by leaps and bounds spiritually. This is what Jesus knew. This is what the apostles in the first century church completely understood, and they were opposed to this, and they knew that this could easily become your master. We've talked about this before, but look at these two verses. Ephesians 5:5. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, and mark this, nor covetous man who is an idolater. What is idolatry? That means you are worshiping an idol. And we say, well, what is an idol? Is it Buddha? Is it one of these created items in our house that people worship? Well, it could be. In other words, it's anything and everything else that's not God. It's your job, it's your spouse, it's your health, it's your wealth, it's your car, it's your home. It's anything other than God. That's your idol. How many people use work as an excuse as to why they don't come to worship? I got to work, I got a job. I love you and I know this is hard, but can I say this to you? Get another job. So that's easier said than done. Well, who's your master? Who do you serve? Who do you work for? Isn't that tough? And Jesus says you can't have divided loyalty. You can't say, well, my work is demanding me to be there, and I have to be. You know, my spouse is not going to church anymore, so I'm just not going to go to church anymore. You know, my friends don't go to this worship service, so I'm not going to go to this congregation anymore. I'm not going to participate. I'm just going to stay home and not engage in it. Who are you committed to? Who are you loyal to? Ephesians 5:5. No covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. You can't have both. Look at Colossians 3:5. Colossians 3:5, which is just an extension of this verse. Therefore, put to your death members which are on earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, here it is, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, we understand what idolatry is. It's something that we worship, we give our loyalty to, we praise, we put time and energy into all of those things. And an idol, man, has so much application. It can be anything that we just referenced. But back up to covetousness. Because when you are covetous, you are an idolater. What is covetousness? It's your desires. And in this text, it's our riches. Anyone who desires to be rich, to have things, to have possessions, who seeks fame, who seeks fortune, who seeks prestige and status, you're worshiping something other than God. You're an idolater. God is not your master. That's the challenge for all of us this morning. We cannot have divided loyalty. So Jesus is clearing up any confusion or dilemma that anyone has and says, well, you know what? Can I just put some time into this? Can I have some allegiance and loyalty into this area of my life? And Jesus says, if God is not your master, then no. It's going to take a lot of wisdom to understand how deep down this teaching actually goes. Turn your Bible to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And Jesus is going to show us the extent of how far this teaching actually goes. Luke 14 and verse 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, and children, brothers, sisters, yes, his own life also, you don't have the mark of discipleship. Your allegiance and your loyalty is not to God. God is not your master. Those things, your life, your desires, they are your master. Having divided allegiance, loyalty is not possible in Christianity. Only one can be the master of your life. It's either God or anything and everything else. Jesus gives us the reason for this in Matthew 6, 24. No one can have two masters. Here's the reason. You will either hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and you'll despise the other. Love, loyalty, hatred, and despise. You'll either be committed to God or you'll be against Him. You can't have it both ways. So then the text leaves us our option and a very simple end to the lesson. Choose God. Seems simple enough, right? Choose God. And this is what Joshua laid at the people's feet in Joshua 24. And we all know this text. Joshua 24, in verse 15, it comes to the close of the book. And he's letting the people know who he is going to follow, who's going to be his God. Verse 15, and if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, or on the other side of the river, the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We choose God, in other words. When Paul, when he was on his evangelistic efforts and his missionary journeys, he commends the Thessalonians. And look what the Thessalonians had done in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 on his first missionary journey. Verse 6, and you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy and of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples of all who Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord sounded forth, not only from Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God had gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. Verse 9, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. See, the responsibility and obligations on our shoulders. You choose Will you serve God? Will you give your undivided attention and loyalty to Him? Or will it be anything and everything else? Will it be stuff that you desire? Will it be stuff that you're looking into? Will it be stuff that you want and demand? That's covetousness. And when you put your energy and focus into those things, man, they are the biggest opponent and enemy of God. You cannot serve God and these other things. And so the real comparison for us is heavenly treasures, earthly treasures. Choose. Which will you have? If you want earthly treasures, you can have them. You just put time and energy into those things. If you want heavenly treasures, what must you do? Choose God. Give Him your attention. You say, well, what does that actually look like? Look at your past weekend. Who did you focus more on? The things of this earth and the things that you want and the things that you're interested in? Or did you focus on this first Sunday, this first day of the week, this time when the church gets together and we support one another and we encourage each other and we all pour our hearts out in adoration to God at the same time, saying we're in allegiance together and we all serve the same God. We all choose God together. Or did you wake up this Sunday morning, your parents got you up, and they go, hey, we got church this morning. Oh, I forgot about church. If you forgot about church, if you forgot about the Lord throughout this week, you have not selected God as your master. Joshua, the Apostle Paul, Jesus, all of the New Testament writers, they would encourage you, please choose God. Serve God. Turn from your idols. Turn away from covetousness. Have self-control. Put yourself under control of the master. Don't want anything and everything else other than God. If our obsession is money, when that increases, then our passion for God will certainly suffer. When we want these things of this earth more and more, we focus on them, when we put our life and dedication into those things, well then your trust and your passion and your enthusiasm for Christianity, it's going to go away. You can't have both. You'll love the one and you'll despise the other. And so I think a great commentary for Matthew 6 is 1 Timothy chapter 6. A great commentary on Matthew 6 verse 24 is 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19. Because what if you're here and you say, man, I have stuff. I have possessions. You know what? I have a car. I have clothes. I have money in my pocket. I have those things. So does that mean that I need to give all those things up? No, you just need to keep them with an open hand. Realize and know that they're not your master. Don't give all of your loyalty and allegiance to these things. That if these things go away and they're gone, you're okay. You're still worshiping and serving God because He's your master. So it doesn't matter, and you learn how to be content and you learn how to be self-controlled. So it doesn't matter if you have these things in your life or not. You still know who you worship and serve, who you're dedicated to. Here it is. If you have possessions, these are your commands. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Your open hand. If God takes these things away, you're still okay with it. But if He gives you these things, you use them for His kingdom. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Verse 19. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. That's a person who's storing up for themselves heavenly treasures. See, the things you own don't end up owning you, but the one who created you, the one who gave you life and gives you all things to enjoy in life and to share, He owns you. That's your identity. Some simple ways to overcome covetousness, idolatry. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1. These are additional notes that you can keep for yourself. Romans chapter 1. Verse 21. Individuals who don't believe in God or don't believe that He created everything, they have no excuse. We looked at some of the arguments in Bible class that there is reasonable arguments and rational statements and beliefs that prove that God does exist. Verse 21, here's our solution. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So what do we learn from this? Be thankful. Glorify God. Honor Him. Be thankful for the things that you have. Be appreciative. We sang a song that said, count your many blessings, name them one by one. That's a good start. The things that you have, be thankful for. Know where they came from. Be appreciative for your spouse. Be appreciative for your offspring. Be appreciative for your car. Be appreciative of all the things that you possess and that you have because God gave them to you. So a great place to overcome a covetousness and idolatry and having everything else, ultimately Satan as your master, be thankful to the one master who gave you everything you own. Be thankful. This is where these individuals ended up going wrong. Realize, number two, when you're thankful and you honor God, it's Christ. He is your life. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Verse 2, very powerful statement. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, note this. When Christ, who is our life. Now he's talking about his second coming. He says, when he appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. But note what he just said. Christ is our life. Be thankful, honor God, give Him the glory for all things that you have, especially in the creation. You're here, your existence is a great blessing from God. Life in general, we should be very thankful for. And number two, realize that your whole life is a life dedicated to Jesus. Christ is our life. What's the implication? Without Christ, there is no life. Without Jesus, there is no Christianity. Christ is our life. And Paul understood this in Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yet indeed I count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. See, Paul understood and realized that his life is worth living when it's found in Jesus. That's the true riches, isn't it? That's the heavenly riches. When Christ is your life, you're storing up for yourself these heavenly treasures. Christ has made us rich. Who is your master this morning? Who do you serve? Where's your loyalty? Only you and I on an individual basis can answer this question. Either we serve and we love and we're dedicated to God, or it's anything and everything else. You can't have both. Where are you this morning? If you want Jesus Christ to be your Lord and your Savior, and you're ready to be baptized for the remission of your sins, we would love to help you. Maybe this morning you realize, you know what, at one point in time, I was dedicated to God, and I didn't feel like things worked out for me. You know what, there really wasn't no benefit in dedicating my life to Him. And so you've begun to serve Satan. Well, hopefully you realize that this is not going to pay off. it's not going to end well for those. We know the story. We know what happens to individuals who are deluded and lied to and blind. Open your eyes this morning. Realize where you were with God and where you'll end up going when you stay dedicated to Him. We would love to help you. You just have to let your needs be known as you come forward and we stand.